Hey, good morning. I am so grateful to worship with you today. My name is Tim Ward, and I'm the pastor here at Crossroads. I want to welcome you, whether you're in person or online. If you're wearing an ugly sweater online, tell yourself that your sweater is ugly and be excited about that. We're just so grateful that you're here. Crossroads is a church where all people are not only welcomed but valued. We encourage you to be who you are. As you come today, we encourage you to worship whatever way feels comfortable. If you want to sing, these are Christmas songs, sing. If you don't want to sing and you want to sit, sit. But come and allow God to speak to you today. I don't know what everybody's need is as you come in, but God wants to meet you right where you are. God wants you to experience the movement of God today. So I hope that happens. Wonder if you might pray with me and for me just a moment. Gracious God, I pray that the words that come out of my mouth might be honoring and pleasing to you. God, that somehow you might speak through me today. And God, that you would give each of us ears to hear what you want us to hear, that our minds would be open to understanding, that our hearts would even be willing to be transformed. Come, Holy Spirit. Amen. In the book Changing the World Through Kindness, Steve Sjogren has this story that he tells, which is a pretty fascinating story. And as a pastor who recently moved into a new community a year and a half ago, I get this story. He talks about how he moved into this neighborhood. And he had some neighbors on the side of him over here. And two houses down, there was a neighbor that was a very outgoing, church-going person. And right beside his house, there was a neighbor who was agnostic, not going to church, not doing it. And one day he was out working in his yard, and the neighbor right beside him, who's agnostic, came out, and he started to strike up a conversation with him, and he started to connect with him. And he said, "Say, Steve, aren't you a pastor?" That's a dangerous thing for somebody to say, by the way. He says, "Say, Steve, aren't you a pastor?" And Steve says in his commentary, he said, "It seems implicit that it's the pastor's job in a neighborhood often to work through the challenges, to play referee, to hang on to that role." So Steve looked at him and he said, "Yes, I am." And the neighbor went on to tell him about the neighbor right next door. He said about all the challenges that he's had with him, about all the problems, about all the ways that the neighbor has sort of come about. And then he said, "But the most recent problem," and I'm reading this as a quote, "takes the cake. We received a letter from his attorney threatening to sue us if we don't trim a tree that borders his yard. It seems strange that he didn't just come over and ask me to take care of the tree before he went to the attorney." And with a wink in his eye, he looked up at Steve and he continued. He said, "You know, I was getting ready to trim that tree. But now there's no way I'm going to do anything until he forces me." He says, "I will gladly go to court just so I can have a story to tell about being sued by Christians over an orange tree." And then he said, "I guess sometimes Christians love us. They just don't like us." Ooh. That's hard, isn't it? Because as Christians, as people who call ourselves Christians, as people who are part of the church, we throw this word love around a lot. Right? We say we're called to love everybody. But there's a tension that lives in that. And the tension is when our love doesn't match up with our actions. Right? You can say all day you love people, but when your love doesn't match up with the way that you interact with people, that brings tension. That brings challenges. And it's actually one of the greatest tensions and the greatest challenge that people who aren't part of the church say about people who are part of the church. Right? We are called to live out our faith. We are called to share our faith. Even when life is hard, we're called to live it out in a way not that tries to convert people or convince people, but that just helps people know that they're loved. And that's a tension we live in, because we can be in this room or we can be online and we can all be really sweet to each other and we can laugh about our ugly sweaters, and then we can go out into the world and the world can be real hard. And the way that we interact with the world is really, really important. I want to read a story from the Gospel according to Luke that's a tense story. Now, the Bible sort of portrays it as not very tense, but I want to read it. And actually, I talked about this every time I get to Advent. I want to tell this story because it's a powerful story about the reality of life as we look at it. So it's from Luke chapter 1, starting in verse 39. It says, "In those days, Mary set out," this is Mary, the mother of Jesus, set out and went with haste to a Judean town in the hill country, where she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the child leapt in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit and exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why has this happened to me, that the mother of my Lord comes to me? For as soon as I heard the sound of your greeting, the child in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her by the Lord." And Mary remained with her about 3 months and then returned to her home. Little context of this story. If you don't know, Elizabeth and Zechariah were older. They had been waiting for a child forever and ever and ever. They had given up, and then God gave them the word that they were going to have a child, and their child was going to be important. Their child was going to have a really important role in the world. Now, Mary, who's much younger and who's Elizabeth's cousin, was not preparing to have a child, right? She had no plans to have a kid. So I want us to read through that context. I want us to understand this text and look at it. I mean, come on. Who thinks this was just a sweet moment between two cousins? Right? Seriously. Sometimes we have to allow the words to come to life on the page. As if Elizabeth goes, "You're having a baby." And Mary goes, "You're having a baby." And all is well. Elizabeth, who had longed for a child her whole life, and who had been told that her child was going to be important, has her cousin show up, who wasn't longing for a child, who wasn't married yet, and said, "I'm going to have a baby. But oh, by the way, mine's going to be the Son of God. Mine's going to be super powerful." Now, Mary doesn't say it that way, but come on, if you're Elizabeth, isn't that the way you hear it? "I know you've been longing, but mine's going to be great." Elizabeth got a surprise. So did Mary. The surprise was they were both having a child. But there's tension in this moment because it seems as if Mary's story is sort of upping over Elizabeth's story. Maybe Mary's baby was just going to be more important. Friends, both of these ultimately received good news in the end. But sometimes there's tension in good news. Perhaps there's tension because you know you're going to get good news when somebody else gets hard news. I remember when I received a call. When you're becoming ordained as a pastor in the United Methodist tradition, you go through this slew of years of tests and slew of classes, and you go through all this information. And then there's one day in the evening when they call you. "Hello, Tim, this is so-and-so. I knew who so-and-so was. So-and-so had all of my fate about my future in her voice. And so-and-so said, Tim, I want to tell you that we are recommending that you be ordained in the United Methodist Church." Right? And I had all this joy and all this excitement because I really didn't know what I was doing yet, right? But I had all this passion and all these feelings, and I was so excited. And then it hit me. There was about half of the group who went through the interviews, about half of the people who I had spent life with, about half of the people that I had journeyed with, that were going to get a different answer. They were going to get, "Sorry, you have to come back and do it all over again." Right? That's what they were going to hear. So I remember I lived in the tension of that surprise phone call that night. I lived in the reality of that call. I didn't post anything on social media when it happened because I knew that there were people who were getting really bad news. There's tension in surprise. Maybe for you, it's not about ordination. I would guess for most of you, it's not. But maybe the surprise is about a promotion that you get. Maybe you get it and somebody else in your office doesn't get it. And how do you live in the tension of that reality? Or maybe, like a friend of mine, his wife was up for a promotion and he knew if she got the promotion, it meant they had to stay here and she didn't want to keep living here. He didn't want to keep living here. But how do you be happy for someone in their surprise and live in the tension of your own reality? Friends, I think sometimes our faith is like that. I think sometimes we can get really excited about our faith. Maybe you come into worship on a Sunday and something happens. Maybe in a song, maybe in the reading of the scripture, maybe in a reflection time after worship, you write something down and you're like, "Oh my goodness. I heard God speak to me today. This thing clicked with me. I felt what God was saying in this exact moment. And then Monday morning comes and you go to work. And you go, I don't know if I can talk about that here. I don't know if I can live that out here. I don't know if I'm going to make everybody around me really uncomfortable. And that thing that felt so wonderful and such a great surprise when you walk into work on Monday feels like a balloon made of lead that just sits there for you because you don't know what to do with it. You don't know how to process it. I've been thinking a lot about that first Christmas. And there were surprises all over the place, right? Joseph was super surprised. Mary was super surprised. Zechariah was super surprised. Elizabeth was super surprised. The shepherds were surprised. Herod was surprised. Right? Everybody in that story, except for the messenger of God, is surprised. And they live in the tension of those surprises. And they have to make a decision about those surprises and what they do with it. And ultimately, the good news is they go and share it. They go and talk about it because they believe that that surprise should be for everyone. But I wonder where you are as we head into this Christmas season. I wonder if you've even been able to process this. I wonder if you've been able to take some space and some time to allow yourself to breathe, to allow God to even catch you by surprise. Or is it same old for you? Is it, this is what I do every year, and I have to do these things, and I have to check these things off my list, and I'm dealing with this reality that's hard, and I'm dealing with this thing? Because if Christmas doesn't catch us by surprise anymore, we're missing out on the beauty of Christmas. So how do we do this? How do we live in the tension of this surprise? First, I believe we have to allow ourselves to be surprised by God. We have to put ourselves in a place. Some people really don't like surprises, and they try to make everything so well organized and so planned that there's no way that God could even possibly surprise them. And that's a challenge, friends, because when we put ourselves there, we can't be open to that moment. You know, I claim that I'm a person that loves surprises, but I remember a few years ago for my birthday, I know none of you, if you go here for any length of time, are surprised that I like to go see Broadway shows, right? Shocker, right? So I went, it was my birthday, and a couple of months before that, Susan had done one of the greatest things ever. She had gone and purchased tickets for us to see Rent. Rent was one of our favorite shows, and it had come back, you know, for like the 99th time because it's Rent. And she was so excited, but she had spent some money on those tickets. And it was about 2 weeks before my birthday, and she said, hey, I can't wait any longer. I have to tell you what I got you for your birthday. And I was kind of excited that she was telling me, but then later she told me because she didn't know if I would like it or not. She was worried that I wouldn't like the surprise. Gosh, I want to be a person that lives my life in a way that is okay with surprises, that allows God to surprise me, that allows my wife to surprise me, that allows friends and family to surprise me, because if not, where is the mystery in it all? Where is the tension that lives in those moments if we have to know all the answers? Where's the reality of our life if we have to have it all figured out? Friends, your Christmas will be absolutely transformed if you create space and open yourself to the surprise of God, if you allow that to happen. So here's the second thing. Tell people when you're surprised. Tell people about it. Share about it. When Mary walks into Elizabeth's home, Elizabeth is probably shocked. Email did not exist then, right? She couldn't make a phone call and say, hey, I'm having a baby and I'm coming. We know Elizabeth was shocked because look at what she says. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? That's a crazy phrase. Mary's like, who are you talking about? Me? Oh, me. Okay. Right? Why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? When you have a surprise that's a good story, go out and talk about it. So often God does something really good in our life and really exciting, and we're afraid to share about it. We're afraid not just because of this whole Christianity thing or the religious thing. We're afraid because we're afraid that our good news might be hard for somebody else who's having struggles to hear. We're often afraid because of our good thing might be a challenge for somebody else. You know what's funny? I often walk with people who are going through really difficult times, through hard things. And you know what they often say to me? One of the number one challenges they have is that nobody else pretends or allows themselves to be happy around them. Because they're afraid if that joy comes, it might put other people's difficulty in a more challenging place. You know what people who are going through really difficult times often want? They often want joy. But real joy. Joy that comes from the life that Christ has given you. Joy that comes from the surprises that God gives you. There are a lot of people out there right now who are uncovering sort of antiques and loving that. Have you noticed? Like not buying the new stuff. Let's go for the old stuff and refurbish it and refinish it. There's a story that I read recently, and it was from 2016, but I recently read it, about an original painting by the Renaissance artist Raphael at an estate in Scotland. And a man is doing this BBC special, and he walks into this home, and he goes, "Oh, that's an original." And they go, "No, it's a fake. It was done. In fact, back in 1899, it was worth about $26, and today it was worth $2,600. And he said, "No, that's an original." This guy said, it hasn't been confirmed yet, but as I look at that, that's an original painting. And once he figured out that it was an original, this painting was worth $26 million. Oh, not $2,600. In the eyes of this guy, as he looked at it, he said, all the evidence points in the right direction, that this would be Scotland's only publicly owned Raphael. I think a lot of us feel like we're a fake. A lot of us feel like we're not worth $26 million. A lot of us feel like we're not worth God doing something really good in our lives. A lot of us feel like we don't have that value. See, I believe that Mary probably felt that way. In fact, when she says that story, you see it in her. I believe Elizabeth felt that way. Who am I, God, that you would bring this to me? Value is given by God, not by other people. And God's value for you is that you are beautifully and wonderfully made, that you are created by an incredible God who loves you so much. And actually, you don't need to wait for other people to discover if you're an original or not. You are. You are an original creation of a God who loves you. You are to believe that you are worth so much more. You are loved. Here's the third point. So talk about it. Allow God to surprise you. And here's the third point. Live in the tension of surprise. As uncomfortable as the interaction could have been between Elizabeth and Mary, they both stuck it out. They hung out together. The passage says at the end, and Mary remained with her about 3 months and then returned to her home. Mary stayed with Elizabeth. Mary sat in the tension. Here's what's really interesting about the scripture. Mary doesn't ever try to justify that God chose her. Mary doesn't go in the scripture, well, I know my baby's going to be the son of God, but your baby's important too. Which is what we often try to do in tension. You know what Mary does? She sits. She sits in the reality that God has surprised them both. And she lives in the tension. She allows God's surprise for each of them to be their very own surprise. Friends, maybe it's a Northern Virginia thing. I've lived here a long time now. Maybe it's a 2022 thing. But I think that we are very quick to move into a world of understanding things, move into a world of moving past things. And sometimes that's when we have good news or bad news or challenging news. What if the surprise of Christmas for you this year is for you to pause? What if the surprise for you this year is for you to live in the tension of whatever God is bringing you? Live in the tension of the blessing that God has for you. Live in the tension of what it means to be a follower of Jesus in 2022 and beyond. Live in the tension of others' good news and live in the tension of your own, and believe that you're worth it. Believe that a loving God loves you so much and created you for something good and something important. That a loving God has value for you. I don't know about you, but I often say in the month of December, I have very few moments to breathe. I'm going to give you one today. I'm going to give you 3 minutes. Some of you are like, that sounds awful. If that's true, you need it. But I'm going to give you 3 minutes to just be still. We're not going to play music. We're not going to try to come up with solutions or holler things out. I'm going to give you 3 minutes to be still, to listen for the voice of God. Maybe the voice that you'll hear from God is, you are worth it. Maybe you'll hear God say, I have a surprise for you, but I want to give you space to be quiet. Not to say anything to God, but just to listen. So be still and allow God to speak to you in this moment.